A new year can bring a sense of hope for some, a sense of change for others. There'll be challenges, victories, and yeah, setbacks. That's all part of it. But you know, no matter how many years go by, the Lord's purpose for you never changes. He's about conforming you to the image of His Son. And that never changes. From the time you accept Christ as your Savior to your final breath, He is about conforming you to the image of His Son. And a big part of that is this. And that's why I say it's a new year, but it's a relevant word. And there's a lot of people that think the Bible's not relevant anymore. Or maybe they think it was never relevant, for that matter. But the Bible addresses humanity. And if there's one thing that I've learned over the years that I've ministered with people, different countries, in different states, in different cultures, all people share the same stuff. We all have the same issues, whether it was David 3,500 years ago, or the disciples in Jesus' time 2,000 years ago, or us today. We still deal with the same issues. We deal with pride, we deal with selfishness, we deal with, you know, hope issues, health issues, money issues. Those things never change. You know, people are people. And it never changes. And that's why this word remains relevant. Because the Bible does hold the answers to the issues of life. That's why I had Dan read the passage out of Timothy. Because it is profitable, and it remains profitable for instruction and rebuke and edification and to humble you sometimes, you know. Sometimes we get a little bigger, bit like my mom used to say, you're too big for your britches, you know. Sometimes we get too big for our britches. And the Bible is capable of bringing you back where you need to be. And so, I was reading one day, I came across Psalm 19, and I come across all the Bible at some point all the time because I'm constantly reading through it, and it just struck me. That's a Psalm of David, and there's a lot in here. So let's just read the Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of His hands. Day after day they pour out speech. Night after night they communicate knowledge. There is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a groom coming from the bridal chamber. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heavens and circles to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey, which comes from the honeycomb. In addition, your servant is warned by them, and there is great reward in keeping them. Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule over me. Then I will be innocent and cleansed from blatant rebellion. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we're going to look, I got just basically three, I think you only got three blanks on the outline. And the first six verses I call the Lord's witness. The Lord's witness. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of His hands. You know, you go out and you look at the sky. You know, and we get robbed living where we live. You know, you go somewhere where you can really see the sky at night. It is an amazing thing. And it just makes you look at it and you go, wow, something big. You know, this is not an accident. This is not a big bang. You know, my question to the Big Bang guys is, if it was a big bang, I mean, when something explodes, you ever see something explode? I mean, it just goes out in all directions, right? And just, right? How come those stars are all in the same shape they've been in forever? You know? I mean, why aren't those stars getting further apart? And, you know, why aren't the constellations changing? You know? I just like, the heavens declare the glory of God. There are so many stars. I mean, science just keeps finding them. You know, we thought we saw a lot of them, and then they sent the Hubble up there, you know, where they, so now you don't have the atmosphere in the way. And then, wow, they find, you know, so much more. The heavens declare the glory of God. And he talks about the stars, and he says they pour out speech. He goes, they're not really talking, they're not really saying it in words, but the message goes out to the whole world, because you know, no matter where you are, you can see stars. No matter where you are, you can see the sun, because then he goes into the sun. He's pitched a tent for the sun. It comes up, it goes down. You know, you marvel at that. It seems we take it, you know, for granted, because it's just, you know, it's something we experience our entire life. But the intricate connection of the sun and the moon and the earth and the planets, and it's what makes life possible on earth. The tides, you know, it's amazing. You know, and what a lucky shot that the moon exactly rotates on its axis exactly in the time it takes to go around. So we always see just one side of the moon. We never see the other side. I mean, you know, boy, you know, you couldn't make that happen, you know, with an explosion, you know. The Lord set the moon in place, and we marvel at it. I mean, you know, and we do marvel. And that's why a lot of people worship the moon. I mean, you know, there's moon worshipers, sun worshipers, nature worshipers, because it is so marvelous. But we kind of get sidetracked by the creation, and we get our mind off the Creator. There is no excuse for the atheist or the idolater. Both are foolish. The atheist denies the Creator. The idolater worships the creation. You know, God put all this stuff here to point us to Him. That's why it's here. And we can get caught up in it and kind of forget, you know, the rain that we had. You know, everybody, you know, oh, we need rain, you know. Well, we do live in a desert. You know, by definition, we don't get a lot of rain. But when it does come, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us a little water, you know. And what was nice about this last one, because, you know, usually when we get it, it's like a torrential downpour and it floods everything. But this one just kind of just rained and rained. And that's the kind of rain that's really useful. You know, that's the kind of rain that really, you know, you can enjoy. Heavens declare the glory of God. The whole system, the whole ecosystem, with evaporation and condensation and precipitation, you know, a little third grade science class there, you know, or whenever they teach it these days. If they teach it these days, who knows what they teach. But it's a marvelous thing. It speaks to God. He provides for us. And he uses this world to do so. And it's his witness. But then the psalmist turns to his word, the Lord's word. The instruction of the Lord is perfect. And that word instruction, it means to shoot as an arrow to a mark, like a teacher would do. When you're teaching somebody, like, because I was a teacher, not in a public school thing, but in my profession, okay, as a refrigeration person, I would get people, and I was charged to train them and teach them. And I had a purpose for them. You know, they needed to acquire a certain knowledge that they could do what needed to be done to hit a mark, if you will. And that mark was to be trained and to be proficient at what they do and to be fruitful, if you will. And this is, it's the same word here. And that word perfect means it's complete. And the instruction of the Lord is complete. If you take the instruction of God's word and apply it to your life, you will get to the mark that God has for you. There's the things that mess us up, that hold us back, that complicate our life. And I'm not talking about the stuff that happens to us. I'm talking about the stuff that comes from within. Because every one of us, we face those choices every day to do what is right or to do things our way. To do things God's way, to do things our way. And that word instruction there, that's what it's talking about. He wants to use his word to point you to the mark. Instruction. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. Well, first of all, let me go back. Instruction of the Lord is perfect. It renews your life. You know, I had a life that was one way at one time, and so did you. But he renews. And his word has had a tremendous influence on me becoming the person I am. And am I where I need to be? No, I'm still growing just like you are. You know, we're all on that path. But it does renew you. It renews your life. It changes your life and makes it into something that's pleasing to him. If you just submit to it. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. Who God is, what he has said and done, what he wants us to be, what he wants us to do, all those things are in here, and that makes us wise. These testimony, it says it makes the inexperienced wise. And so every one of us, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were inexperienced in the things of God. We may have had a certain knowledge of right and wrong or whatever, but there was a ton of things in this word that I learned that as I implemented them, it allowed me to avoid mistakes. It makes the inexperienced wise. You know, we do learn from our mistakes, but I really do pray to God that I don't have to learn every single thing I learned by going through the bad choice. I hope I can learn ahead of the curve and make the right choice first and not have to pay the price to learn. Some things I learned by experience, but some things I've learned, I just don't do it because God's word says not to. And it makes me wise. Not that I'm smart, but that God's word is smart. And if you know it, you will not make the mistakes that you made before. Or you won't make the mistakes you never made. You just don't make the mistake because you do it right. And how do you know to do what's right? I mean, it's funny, you know, what they're trying to legislate everything out of our culture. But how, you know, so what's the basis of right and wrong then? If you take God's word out of the picture, then what's the basis for right and wrong? It just becomes every man does what is right in his own eyes. and you have chaos, exactly. You have anarchy. You have an out-of-control situation. And it really, truly does become Darwinism, survival of the fittest. And but God in his wisdom gave us parameters. He gave us words of wisdom to live by. Do not steal. You know, why is it wrong for me to go to your house and steal something? You know, well, I should be able to do that. You know, so where did they get do not steal from? I mean, no matter how they try to run from God's word, we got tons of laws about stealing, theft, larceny, whatever, you know, whatever, grand theft, you know, whatever. Where do those laws come from? If you're going to abolish the Bible, then you got to abolish those laws. What about murder? You know, what about bearing false witness? You know, all those things that we have laws about, that came from somewhere. Yeah, it came from our word. They just don't want to admit it. But it does make us wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. Precepts are detailed instructions on practical matters of life, which when done, bring joy. You know, there's just something about being in God's will and doing what God says. It brings great joy. I experience it often simply because I understand, you know, my position here. And like even when God lays a message on my heart and I deliver, I'm obedient to him, it brings me great joy. You know, whether you receive it or not really has nothing to do with it. I say what God lays on my heart and I walk out of here and I'm like, it's all good. You know, I please God. And so whether you're in a setting like that or it's just some private decision you make in your own life that God laid on your heart, it brings you joy. You say, wow. You know, and I praise him all the time. Just his faithfulness. His faithfulness to me. You know, I pray before every message, I pray that, God, you are faithful. Will you please empower me to deliver your word? Will you please kick all of Mike out of here and let it all be you? And I pray that every single time. And you know what? Every time I leave, I get in my car and I thank God for being faithful. And I just say, God, you did it again. You know, and whether you got something out of it or not, it doesn't lower or raise my joy. I just know that I'm obedient. And out of that, it brings joy. And so when you learn something about how to handle money or how to handle a relationship or bitterness or forgiveness, or and you start doing that, it brings you joy. It changes your heart. These things are available, folks. It's available to you. It's just a matter of the will. Because we choose every day whether it's to forgive or whatever, or how to handle our money, decision, whatever. We make those choices every day. And you can make the right choice, the righteous choice, and it brings joy. Because there's great comfort in being right. You know, there's people that have gone to prison for standing for what's right. There's people that have lost their jobs for standing for what's right. And yeah, it may put them in a hard place, but you know what? They have that peace that passes all understanding, that joy, because you know what? Even if all of you think I'm wrong, if I know that God and me are on the right page, it's all good. Precepts. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. I like that. You ever heard that phrase, you know, like the light came on? You know, I remember, you know, doing schoolwork and not, you know, especially because I was heavily in math and that kind of thing, calculus and analytic geometry and all those things. I took all that stuff, believe it or not. And but I remember there would be like, I'm not getting it. But then when you get it, it's like the light came on. You know, I understand what this is about. And that's what God's word does. It gives us light. And the light can come on. And sometimes it seems like it's darkness when you're doing it. But then there comes a point when God works in your life because of the choice you made to obey. And you're like, okay, God, I see what you were doing. I get it. That's a tremendous thing. It's a tremendous gift that we have out of His Word. And so when you apply, you know, this is apply things and learn things and the light comes on. Oh, that's why He said not to do that. Or that's why He said to do that. And the light comes on. Wow, that's what happened in my life. And that's why. And it's so satisfying and fulfilling. The light, you know, I love that. It's radiant, making the eyes light up. I just love that. It's radiant. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. I found that interesting, that in the midst, he's talking about instruction and testimony and precepts and commands, and then later on, ordinances, okay? Those are all references to the Word. But then we come to this, David kind of digresses a little bit. He pauses here to make a point. And he says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Fear. And this is not the cowering fear, you know, the terror fear. This is the respect and reverence, the awe. Knowing who God is and knowing who you are. And here's the thing. We will not obey the Word of God unless we reverence and respect the God of the Word. Because if you've got no, if you've got no respect for somebody, you're not really going to listen to what they say, are you? I'm just talking humanly. You ever have a boss you work for that you didn't respect because they were a knucklehead or totally self-serving or they were stepping on you to get to the top or whatever and you just didn't respect them? It's hard to respect what they say when they're not a respectable person and you don't respect them. You don't even care what they say. Do you respect the God of the Do you reverence the God of the Word? You know, we all would say we do. But I think all of us can also admit we've done and said things that don't respect Him. We have to have that love, that reverential fear of God. You know, the Bible says in another place in Proverbs, it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know, I'd like to think I just choose not to do evil because I'm just a good guy. But to be honest with you, many times I choose not to do evil because I'm afraid of what God will do. Because, you know, I'll say, man, that guy got away with it, but I know I won't. Because my God loves me too much to let me get away with it. You know, it's just like when we discipline our children, right? Why do you discipline them? You don't want them to make the same mistake again. Right? You're not doing your child a favor if you let them get away with it. And you know what? God loves you more than you love your child. And I have that reverential fear of God. I just know, yeah, you know, there's opportunities to do things, and it's like, no way. Not because I'm all that great, but because He's all that big. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. You can depend on this Word. It is reliable. Many people have studied and tried to disprove it and prove it wrong, and they can't do it. It is reliable. What the Word says happens. And I've proved it in my own life, in the positive and in the negative. I've stepped out from under God's Word, and there was a price to pay. And I've stayed in or taken steps under God's umbrella, you might say, when you're in His Word, and I've seen God work in that way as well. His judgments are true and righteous. You understand, you know, the biggest judgment of all, What's the biggest judgment of all? It's heaven and hell, folks. It's heaven and hell. And when God says, depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew you, that's just and it's righteous. And when God says, come on in and enter into my rest because we have trusted in Jesus Christ, that is just and righteous. His judgments are pure. And then all those lesser judgments that go on in our life are pure as well. I just chose the big one, the eternal one, as an illustration. But, you know, when we violate God's word and, you know, you go steal something and you get caught and go get, you know, whatever happens, happens, that's just. That's righteous. That's what you deserve. The judgments are true and righteous. They're altogether reliable. You can trust it. You can trust this word. I hope you do. Going up forward with 10 and 11, these judgments, I mean, and he starts, he's brought up the instruction and the testimony and the precepts and the commands and the fear and the ordinances. And he says, you know what? These things in totality are more desirable than gold. Now, I don't know about you, but it'd be nice to have about 10 pounds of gold. You know, it's worth a lot of money, you know, but this is more desirable than gold. Because you know what I've seen? I have been around wealthy people. They're not all that happy. A lot of them. They're not all that happy. They've done a lot of studies on this. You know, and does more money make you happier? Well, it does to a point. You know, if you're in a position where you're not eating, you know, and you're maybe like that family, their electricity turned off or, you know, whatever, you're not happy. And if you were making more money, you would definitely be happier to have clothes and food, you know, and roof over your head and heat in the winter, you know, that kind of, you definitely would be happier. But what the studies show is once you get those basic needs met, all that extra, like, you know, you end up with way more than your level of satisfaction goes down because now you got stuff to worry about. You know, I got all this money, so I put it in the stock market, or, you know, they want you to invest in it. Well, what if property values go down? Or what if, you know, what if some yahoo in the government makes a decision and, you know, we've never seen that happen, have we? But if you don't have anything, there's nothing to worry about, right? It's interesting. It's more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold. It's sweeter than honey that comes from the honeycomb. Talking about God's word. Talking about the truth. And it says, in addition, your servant is warned by them. And there is great reward in keeping them. So the word of God provides us warnings. And the word of God shows us that we can get rewards if we keep these words. There's reward. You know, there's a lot of reward in just having peace. You know, just being at peace with God. There's a lot of reward in that. Just knowing that, you know what, the best way I can, I'm trying to obey, I'm trying to please God, trying to serve Him. There's a lot of reward in that. The Word does warn us, and the Word does reward us. Because when you obey it, things happen to work out better, one way or another. Then we come to the last one. We've seen the Lord's witness. We've seen the Lord's word. And now we see the Lord's washing. His washing. Who perceives his unintentional sins? Do you know you have sin that you don't even know you have? You've just not been made aware of it. You know, sometimes we're just blinded. You ever meet somebody and they're like the most proud person in the world? You know, they got, you know, like super ego, but they think they're like really humble. We have stuff in us that we don't see. You know, you want to know what kind of husband you are? Ask your wife. Telling you. You know, because you know what? thought I was pretty good, you know? Till I asked her. Don't be laughing, ladies. Because you want to know what kind of wife you are? Ask your husband. Yeah, yeah. And you want to know what kind of parent you are? Ask your kids. Because you can be thinking you're doing really good. And be sincere. You know, I'm not saying, you know, you're putting on something. I mean, you really think you've got this thing figured out. Until you ask somebody else. And those are the unintentional things. You know, we are busy trying to, you know, be a good husband, be a good wife, be a good parent, be a good church member, be a servant, you know, whatever it may be. We may have the best heart, you know, sincere, and just be sincerely wrong, you know? And he says, who perceives his unintentional sins? And we've all seen that person that thinks they're all that. And everybody else knows he's not except him. Or her. I don't want to totally pick on the guys. I mean, really. I mean, I know we got the most work to do. I mean, you know. And that's the truth, too. I've counseled a ton. I mean, women have their flaws, but men just seem like they really got them. I don't know. But that's another message. Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. You know, the Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked and we don't even know it. But God knows. And if you ask him, he will reveal things to you if you're humble enough to listen. Cleanse me. This is the washing I'm talking about. Cleanse me from my hidden faults. You know, I don't want to unknowingly hurt somebody just because, you know, I don't see it. Cleanse me, Lord, from my hidden faults. And then he says, moreover, keep me from willful sin. You know, those are the things you know are wrong and you just do it anyway. Nobody's ever done that, right? No. Do not let them rule over me. Then I will be innocent and cleansed from blatant rebellion. You know, God calls it what it is. We don't like to use that word. Rebellion. But do you understand that when you do something in opposition to this word, that is rebellion? You know, when I was raising my kids, they only got spanked for two things. Two things only. You don't spank for everything. And I know spanking, that's the evil word these days. But it works. Somebody said it works. It does work. I received my share of them, I'll tell you that. And I'm, you know what? And to this day, I am thankful I got them because I was a knucklehead. And I hate to think about what I had done if my dad hadn't spanked me. Seriously. I'd have probably been dead or in jail. Well, I certainly wouldn't be here. I know that. But I didn't finish the thought, did I? The two things.
Three.
Two things. No, only two things. Don't try and mess me up, John. I would spank for lying, and I'd spank for blatant rebellion. You know, if you tell the child, don't do that, and they do it, that's rebellion. But you know, of course, okay, you got to make sure they're old enough to understand what you're saying, of course. It's within their reasoning. But every child rebels. They look you in the eye, and they do it, and it's like, what are you going to do about it? That's what they do. Don't touch that. And they go. And they look at you. That's just a dare. A double dog dare, you know? So, he says, the willful sin, don't let it rule over you. You know, sometimes, you know, and then we grow up and we don't get spankings anymore, right? But we get spankings in other ways. God's a good spanker. He spanked me enough. And it says, if you do this, I will be cleansed from blatant rebellion. And that's part of that fear of the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I don't want the spanking, folks. So I don't do it. even though my flesh says, go ahead, you'll get away with it. It'll be all good. Won't happen to me. You know, my wife and I, we see lots of young ladies that have STDs because it wasn't going to happen to them. A warning that God's Word gives. It says, keep yourself and don't stray outside that. It's a warning. But you know what? When you do that, there's great reward in that. There's great reward. And then he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, it's been talking about actions, our willful sins, our hidden sins that we're not aware of. Those are our actions. But, you know, we don't just get up one day and do actions. It starts in the heart, and then it starts coming out in words, and then we do it. Remember if you've been, you know, watching the news, the guy in Fort Lauderdale, he'd gone into a place and said, I'm hearing voices telling me to kill people, you know? He said it before he did it, and he'd been thinking about it before he said it. And you know what? All sin starts that way. It starts in our heart, because our hearts are desperately wicked. Don't kid yourself. And it becomes a thought, and we ponder it for a while. That's why he says the meditation of my heart. Because you know what? We ponder it for a while, and then we kind of say it and plan it, and then we do it. You know, I went to the gas station this morning on the way here and got gas. So when I drove in there, I just didn't spur of the moment decide, I'm going to hold up this gas station. No. People go there and get gas and they go, wow, that, you know, the person that's here, maybe it's a young lady or something, and there's no one else here. And you know, the thought comes in their head, I could probably get away with it. And then they start making their plan, and then they try to time it just right so that hopefully they won't get caught. That's the plan. You don't just walk in there and go, spur of the moment. Give me all your money. You know, that doesn't happen. It starts here, goes to here, and then it goes to here, our hands, the things we do. And the psalmist says, may my words and my heart be acceptable to God, my rock and my redeemer. You know, we need to be more aware. I believe this. We all need to be more aware of what we are doing. Is it acceptable to God? And I try to teach that when I, you know, when people come to me for counsel, a lot of times I'll say, well, do you think God would be pleased with that? And, you know, pretty much, if you can say yes to that, you're good. And if you are kind of wavering, you're not sure if it's yes or no, that's a good sign that it's no. Our sins, the Word can wash them all. Our actions are a reflection of what we think and what we say. May they always be acceptable to the Lord. It's kind of funny. I just realized I haven't moved one slide. You want to see them?
Just start over.
You want me to start over? Oh, I love you, Eric. It's not even working. Look at this. God didn't want me to do the slideshow today. We're still listening. Amen. You know, it's kind of funny. It doesn't happen often that you hear that, by the way. But when I used to preach in the nursing home, and we had a certain amount of time to do that. This was in New Mexico, and I'd say, well, I've gone over, and they're like, it's okay, keep going. You know, and that's how we should be. Not that you want to listen to me all day, but, you know, about having God's Word, because we would go there and preach God's Word. And some of those folks, you know, they're in that home and nobody visits them. Nobody. And we were the highlight of their week when we would come and we had a piano player and a lady came and she would lead the singing. And then we would give them a message. And then when the message was over, the helpers would come and wheel the ones that needed help, and they'd wheel them into the lunchroom. And we would sit down with them afterwards and have lunch with them and talk with them. And they just want to talk because they hadn't talked to anybody all week. And so when we would be sharing the Word of God with them and we'd wrap it up, they were sad. You know, they were like, oh, no, keep going. And you know what was funny was I used to worry about what I'd talk about. Because, you know, you're sitting there, most of them are, and I know some of you are there, but most of them are 80 or 90, you know. Yeah, watch it. I know. I'm trying to be sensitive. But, you know, and most of them were single now because their spouse was gone. And they're no longer raising their kids. And they no longer really have any money. I mean, you know, a lot of them are there and just whatever their social security was, you know, that's what's paying for it all. And so, and they're just there. And so I would worry about, well, gosh, what am I going to preach to these people? I can't talk about marriage. I can't talk about raising kids. I can't talk about money. Can't talk about this or that. But you know what I found? Because I did it for like 5 years. I found that they just wanted to hear the Word. And it didn't matter what I preached on. It really didn't matter to them. And of course, in our setting, I try to make things practical for you. You know, I try, and I hope I do. And, you know, that's something that you can just take home and maybe do make one change that'll just help you in some way because of what God's Word says. And I hope I achieve that. But honestly, all they wanted was someone just to talk to them out of God's Word. And they didn't care what it was, what the subject was. And then they wanted to have a little relationship afterwards. And I'd go in the lunchroom and I'd sit there and just... And some of them just had fascinating pasts, you know. And they'd just sit there and talk. And they didn't want you... And finally, the people would come and say, you got to go back to your room now, you know. And they just did not want us to leave. And, you know, in a lot of churches, people, man, if you go... They know what time it should end and, you know... Yeah, they're really involved in the Word, you know. So if any of you did that, oh well. But really, though, they had a hunger for the Word. And that's what we need to have, folks. That's what this psalm is about, really. Just have a hunger and a desire for God's Word. And trust Him for the issues of your life. You just try to line up with Him the best you can. And all those other issues... That's in God's hands anyway. You don't have control. You know, that's what God's really been impressing on me lately is how little control we really have over things. I mean, we like to think we do. But I had a lot of people ask me, wow, were you in Fort Lauderdale? You know, because I just came from there. You know, that guy could have just as, what we flew out of was Atlanta. Because I have a brother that lives there and so we met, hooked up with him, and then went down to Florida, and then came back, and I flew back. But the guy could have just as easily gone to Atlanta, right? I mean, those things are not in your control. And just like anything, getting in your car and pulling out on the highway. Some crazy guy wants to commit suicide and just swerve into you. That's not in your control. And that's what God's really been showing me lately. It's just, there's so much in our life that it's not in our control. And we really ought to be about being in the Word and being with Him. Because, you know, that's something we can control. How much time you spend here and how much time you spend with Him. Word of God never changes. The truth it contains should be the basis for every aspect of the Christian's life. With it, we have a proven and trustworthy guide. Without it, we are left to our own faulty and selfish perspectives. God's word is forever truthful, reliable, flawless, and relevant. It is the key to the fruitful and fulfilled. I hope you have been washed. The initial washing is the forgiveness that you get when you accept Christ as your Savior. That's your initial cleansing. But then we still get dirty, don't we? And we still have things within us that soil us, in a sense. God's word is available to show you the clean way. So I have a question. Is the word big in your life, your thoughts, your words? Meditation of your heart. Where's your thoughts at? Pay attention to. Those things are in our control. We can choose to make that a bigger part of our life. And then God will do what only He can do. He'll bless. He'll reward. Making the right choice sometimes costs you something. And that's true. But in the end, you'll have peace and joy, and you'll know that, and you'll be acceptable. You know, in all honesty, there's nothing better than that. Regardless of what's going on in your life, to be acceptable to the Father is the best thing ever. I'm going to have an invitation. If you have Christ as your Savior, then you will be accepted by God. If you don't, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you've never asked Him to forgive you, if you've never confessed your sin and trusted in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, God will justly and righteously deal with you. But the good news is you don't have to do that. The good news is you can accept Christ. You can just pray a simple prayer. Ask for forgiveness. Ask God to save you. And if you sincerely meant it, and you believe that Jesus is Lord, that He paid the price for you, then the Bible says you'll be saved. For the rest of us, how much of this is in you? Because it contains the answers to the issues of life. How much of this are you doing that you would be acceptable to God? Right where you're at, whatever your situation is, single, married, parenting, not parenting, healthy, not healthy, you know, whatever it might be. Have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've never done it. I've played with the idea. I've heard it a million times, but I've never made the choice. Anybody like that? How many here today would say, Brother Mike, I need to get more of the Word? Anybody like that? I just need to be in the Word more. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I do hope you all have that time that you spend with God every day. And if you don't, maybe that's something you need to do in the new year. Because His word is relevant. And it's powerful. And it's perfect. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You for Your word. It is truly a blessing that You gave it to us. Thank You, Lord, for the truth it contains, the warnings it contains, the rewards it contains. Thank You, Lord, for being a God that cares and loves. Thank You, Lord, for just simply sending Your Son as a physical showing of Your love for us. Ask You, Lord, help me to be more acceptable to You each and every day. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. If God's moved on your heart, you just deal with Him right now as Kathy plays. Just whatever God has said to you, you just respond. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you to just make it more real to us each and every day. May you be pleased with what we think, with what we say, with what we do. That you would be glorified, that Jesus would be lifted up. Amen.